We are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good. For we are His lovers who have been called to fulfill His design purpose. Who could ever divorce us from the endless love of God? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish His love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and His demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything.
Hello, 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 world. We're honored you came back for season 2 of the Beloved Queens podcast. I'm Tina Matherson with my ladies Claudia Lewis, everybody called Queen Trina, and Veronica Gray, our Queen V. We let come again, queens.
Let's get it on, ladies.
Caribbean queens in the ATL.
For the next few seconds, just rock with us. Rock with us. Rock with us. Next few seconds, just rock with us.
Feel the vibes, man.
Yeah, man.
We've spoken about love languages on this podcast many times. Dr. Chapman wrote the book to bring to our awareness that love is a language. Everyone gives and receives love differently. The love languages are as follows. Number 1, acts of service. People who show love this way, action speaks louder than words. So show me, not tell me. Receiving gifts. Love is most felt when they get stuff. Number 3, quality time. These folks feel loved when others spend time with them. Number 4, words of affirmation. Certain words just ignite the fire inside of these people. Number 5, physical touch. You know your touchy-feely friends? They feel more loved and connected through touch. As kids, we didn't know any of these. And sometimes the way love was shown to us, that's not what we expected love to be. And it kind of left some of us in a little bit of confusion about whether or not the adults in our lives loved us. So that's where we start today.
Who show love by working?
Let me start off the things and talk it up. My mom always had 2 jobs. I mean, it was so bad to the point where I remember my junior high school graduation and I wanted her to be there. And she was like, no, we can't call me for work.
Wow.
But she sent my dad and my dad went all out. But at the time, I really had just got introduced to him. So I didn't even appreciate his presence being there. I wanted my mom to be there.
Oh.
Literally, that was me. I came to the States at the age of 12, and I graduated junior high at 13. So it was literally a year.
Uh-huh.
So it was like he was still a stranger to me. And he got a limousine.
For junior high school, my girl?
For junior high school, he came with a limousine.
Oh, man.
I remember my mom bought me this beautiful Cinderella dress, but all of that stuff, all I remember that she didn't come to my graduation.
Wow.
I didn't care about any of that stuff. Like, I remember when I pulled up and everyone was like, oh my God, you have a limousine and all that stuff. And I'm like, I didn't care because I wanted her to come to my graduation. I remember feeling sad the entire day because she wasn't there.
The main person you wanted to see you, to
the
be proud.
The main person, exactly.
But Trina, in her head, her working was able to buy you the stuff you need.
Let me tell you something. My mom rule was as long as you're there, pound on a roll, you can't get anything. And she, when I said she was a woman of her word, she was a woman of her word. Anything I asked for, as long as I was on the honor roll, I can get it. So I saw work. And, you know, for me, it was kind of like my reward to her was doing what she wanted, which is being on the honor roll.
Mm.
And for her not to be there to see all that, I was like, what's the point?
So her love language clearly was different from yours. Because now that we have studied love language, what do you think that was?
Quality time. I wanted her quality time where she service. To the front.
Interesting. But Trina, do you remember that you thought yours was gift and your mother always gave you gifts for doing good?
Yes. That's
links, my girl. Links.
The one that deep.
Ooh, girl, that's deep. Ooh, the one that deep. That's why I thought it was gift.
But even from that early age, you wanted quality time and you never realized.
I didn't realize it. I did not realize it.
But she showed you through gifts. So you loved gifts.
I loved gifts. Wow. Yes, Miss Veronica. I'm sitting on the one.
Wow. No, but the thing is, it's so similar to my story where my mother worked. Being a single mom, she had to. Like, my mom, even today, my mother has two jobs. Like, please. It's not, maybe 7-8 years. Maybe 14, yeah, Cameron is 14. I think about 14 years, my mom started to decide, like, she's going to start taking vacation. You had to force her to stop and take a break or stop and rest. My mother just felt that her working was her way of providing. And in her mind, I get it because there was no other option. Like, you know, that was what she had to do. And having the two jobs was getting it done. So to me, I had an understanding of why she did it. So I didn't. And then we talked about everything. And then we spent the quality time when she was home. So she will always be home. Like after work, she'll come home. She's not like, you know, away. But that was the only time we spent together was when she was at home or unavailable. But everything else was just work.
She was the provider.
She had to be two people.
There was no second. It was just us. She had to be two people. And that's why I was always like, respect you, because... But it's so funny because I find myself doing that unconsciously working. I find myself unconsciously working and doing... And the only time I catch myself is when Cameron is like, Mom, are you still working? Mom, why are you still working? Mom, are you going to work? Mom, it's going to be a bank holiday. Why are you working on a bank holiday if you work with the banks? If the banks are not open, Mommy, why are you working?
So hold on. So as much as your love language is quality time. You see what just happened right there? Every day, you're mirroring now your mom and working.
Mirror.
Even though, darling, you have a husband.
But what I found with myself, however, is when I break, I break. Like, there is no medium. And that's why I have to, like, sadly, I schedule my time with Cameron. Like, I have to schedule because I have to put it in so that I get it in. Because trust me, I will find some work to do.
Work.
Because it download.
Yes.
Your children mirror.
what they see.
What they see, not necessarily what you say.
But here's the thing. When I decided to have kids, well, I never decided them come, but anyway. I didn't choke me, that's a part of things. It was interesting because I decided not to work because I wanted to be present.
Interesting.
Ah, quality time again.
I wanted to be present. I wanted to be there for everything because my mom wasn't there. My mom did not show up. Conference time. I did good in school out of fear. But it's the talk of the things because it's truth. Listen to me. Claudette Adams, you know what the truth may talk. Made it free that you like puss. So yes, I did my schoolwork out of fear. It's not because someone was actually there monitoring me or anything. I just knew, and I also knew this was the way I was going to get what I wanted. The gifts. So I did my schoolwork, but there was no one coming for conferences. There was no one coming for any events, nothing. I was on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being sworn in to become a U.S. citizen. I was there by myself at the courthouse, but I did things on my own. And that was normal for me because my mom was busy and I knew she had to work. She was working. Work was a priority. So I chose to make sure my kids knew they were my priority.
Interesting.
A complete 180.
180.
But here's the interesting thing. I never saw my life this way. Stay at home mom? What you said? No. I never envisioned that for myself.
Hmm.
While girlfriends were planning weddings, Trina was planning business. I was like, I'm going to be working and I'm doing that. I never saw myself being married, having kids, none of that stuff. My mindset was totally different. And they said, man, I plan on God a wipe out because that was that was straight up God, not me. I'm just keeping it real.
Yes.
That wasn't my vision. But without, I was doing it subconsciously in terms of changing the pattern with my mom. I didn't plan to stay home. I was working before I got pregnant. I just was really sick and had to stay home on bed rest and just took time. It just kind of kept on going over the years where I was just home.
Yeah, but Trina, in that subconsciously, you remember the feeling that you had of a parent, no
exactly.
parent, because the father wasn't there the mother was so busy, even though she was present, she was too busy
exactly.
to be there, that you never wanted
right.
that for your kids. So whether that was in your plans or not, that feeling that you had, you were never going to have them feel that way.
Never. They were up. And then, thank God, that's where you and the hubby in sync. Mike was the same way. He was at everything, too.
Wow. Yeah.
Everything, too. I'm not missing nothing. Everything.
That's so funny because I remember, like, when Cameron have anything, it's like me and Marlon always, you know, go on, we're there because we were kids. We are products like you who didn't have a parent present. So, but I don't think we were thinking that. We were just like, oh, Cameron has something. Both of us are going to show up. And I remember my mom always asked, so both of you going?
Mom, he's like, wait a second. Mom,
wait, two of us show up?
Exactly. She's like, so the two of us show up? I was like, yes. I just like, so on and off work.
Somebody gotta work. Wait a second.
I was like, yes, mommy, but you know, you can't stop from work. You know, you can't actually stop from work and attend something.
Half a day, do something, work the schedule, lunchtime, something. Fit it in.
Mind boggling for her to see that. And I think, you know, you have to remember that these are parents. Well, my mother, she grew up in a country where her parents were farmers. Like, they're not going to leave the field to come to no school event. I mean, she grew up with both parents, but I don't know if mama or papa went to any school event for my mom. Like, she's just accustomed to it. And, oh, cycle. And unconsciously, I broke the cycle.
Look at that.
Not knowing. You know what I mean?
Trina was deliberate in breaking it.
Right.
Because what right. is what you would do it by accident, my girl.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Buck up, buck up, buck up.
Yeah.
Big buck up, big buck up.
For me, my mom, from I was 8 months till I was 21, she never lived with me. But there was never a birthday that she was not there. And as much as most of her life was in America, she wasn't there physically. But the reason why I connect with people is because my mom taught me the power of connection from a distance. She was very affectionate. She was, when she came, I knew that the whole world revolved around me. She just sweep me up in quality time. She sweep me up in lavishing love. She just poured it out whenever she was present. So, you know, my situation was so opposite that even though she had to work, she had to go to foreign to work because it made more sense to get more money. You know, when you have a parent that goes away to America and everything, and you're in Jamaica where it's warm, you don't even understand, like, they're in some freezing temperatures. They don't know. You know, it's like they're out of their element when they come to America. People think, oh, them, they're foreign, everything all right. No, you're coming to America and it is not peaches and cream over here. You are walking through inches of snow up to your knee sometimes, and you've never been in snow. You're walking in minus 6 degree weathers, and you're coming from 90. you're doing this because you have to work, you have to provide,
mm-hmm.
and it's a lot of sacrifices when a parent leave their child behind to work in a strange country. You're not surrounded by your family. You are alone most of the times. The temperature ain't pretty over here.
Mm.
And you have to get used to it and not have your baby.
Mm-hmm.
No, think about it. We can't even leave our children and say, all right, go to your grandparents mm-hmm. for like just the entire mm-hmm. summer or just go. They literally have to do something mentally in their subconscious to say, you know what?
The ends justify the means for them.
Yes.
But what I want the parents to do, you have to get the kids involved in your decisions. Because trust me, it makes a big difference. There are so many parents that have made that sacrifice because of the kids they made. And we understand we are products.
Barrel kids over here.
We understand the sacrifice that you made. But you know what? But the difference, you have to let the kids know. Because some of these things that they are requesting is because they don't know what you're going through. Some of the things that they are feeling, the abandonment issues and the neglect is because they don't know. You have to be able to tell them, I'm leaving. There are some parents who left and did not tell their kids that they were leaving because they refused to have the conversation, or they didn't want to see the hurt,
or they were so focused on the bread and butter, money, I gotta get her what she needs. Mm-hmm. I'm the only mm-hmm. one. I have to do this. They're mm-hmm. so focused on they didn't see the child, like Trina's mom, mm-hmm. for example. Mm-hmm. It's all about the stuff
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily the time, right? So there is the presence. I write about this in my book.
Presence.
It's the presence, mm-hmm. and then there is actual presence.
All right.
Right. So mm-hmm. no one is saying, right? Because we don't know what we would have done in a situation that our parents were in. But what we are saying is, like Veronica said, share what you're doing. Share your struggles. Mm-hmm. Share your end goal. Share that what you feel you have to do. In order, because all of this, what you're doing is love, you know, but no one, it's like you're doing it in secret.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're not never going to understand if they don't know what the sacrifices that you're making out of love. Exactly. They won't know.
The Beloved Queens podcast continues after the break. Soon come back.
If you're wondering how you can support and partner with us, we have some gems for you. Go to thebelovedqueens.com and click the heart at the top right-hand corner, or simply email us at info@thebelovedqueens.com. That's info@thebelovedqueens.com.
Action time. So because this is the year of the family, what we don't want to happen is we give you information, you take it in, but then there's no application. So here is some homework. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to show love or speak lovingly to a family member who never gave you love the way you expected it. This is not easy, so that's why I said ask the Holy Spirit for help. And on Facebook, we want you to testify how any of the episodes has blessed you or made a difference in your life.
And we're back.
As loving as my mother was, as loving as she was, as connected as she showed me, like power of connection and all of that, by the time I get to 21 and I came to America and I see where she's living and I'm seeing America. Because in my life in Jamaica, I felt very privileged.
Uptown girl.
And when I go to America and I'm just
she
like,
was living like an uptown girl.
And by the time I come to America and I'm seeing, this is the sacrifice. What this is what you give up for not spending time with me all the time. Because again, a child is always going to want more. Yep, you're going to always want more. As much as she give her heart, soul, and everything. And I never understood that she was doing what she had to do. Because she just thought that it was just her. So I was a little bit resentful by the time I started living with her. Because I'm just like, America is not what it seems. Like, why is everybody trying to come over here and live in a one-bedroom when we have a house?
I said the same thing.
Tina, do you think that you would have been more open, more receptive, if she had accomplished more here?
Probably. You have an idea that your mother is in America. You have an idea that she's accomplished and she's doing all these things. And she placed and downloaded inside of you that you also need to be a high achiever. And you cannot settle for certain things. And you have to be going and working and getting better and doing more and being better. You know, you just have to be keep just striving to be the best. And then when you come to America and America is not in your mind what you've been imagining this entire time, it does feel like a letdown. It does feel like you gave up me for this place that smells like garbage in the atmosphere.
Talk up the thing.
Because you know how New York, it's not roses.
It ain't roses.
You got rats running in the subway. Let's just be honest.
Hello. Let's be honest.
And you're like, wait a second. What's happening here? So you're coming and she's giving up everything so that you cannot experience this, but she's not telling you that this is how she's living so that you can live better than she did.
So you can't live like the uptown girl where you're down there, live big life, and the woman up here suffer.
Yes,
I come with your tan bad self, I come chat about said the woman, and this you did have while it out there, live big, big life.
But it's them create the monster because they teach you
the fantasy.
The fantasy of America versus third world. You know what I'm saying? And the reality of the situation is
the struggle is real.
Exactly. The struggle is real.
Nobody not coming over here for come shovel snow. You don't think that easy?
Hey. No, yeah, talk to Caribbean people who, if them Syrian set up, them decide them not gonna work.
Nobody goes to work.
If it even set up, them not go work. And you have to be walking in 6 inches of snow still going to work. Because guess what? Well, I don't know about much states, but New York don't shut down for nothing.
Hello?
One time I see New York shut down, I lie. There was over a foot of snow and it literally covered everything where New York have to be like, we really got luck. Yeah, we got luck. But that was it. It don't really show. And people have to go to work.
If you're an essential worker like my mom was, nothing stops you. Not even September 11. You still have to go to work. No, how much inches of snow does not stop you. You have to go to work because a lot of people are getting accidents. And you got to help. So it's a lot of sacrifice, and I didn't even appreciate it until, when we reach number 40s, you know, you're like, oh, this is what she was trying to do.
No.
Oh, could I have done that if I was her? Maybe not, because I'm just kind of soft, because I was in my Eiffel Tower. Okay?
Right.
So who am I to judge? People are just doing what they got to do, and what gets you financed and on your way to go to college and all of these things that you have to get. But then part of it is she needs community. So some of her, the way she spent her money and different things is to try to find somewhere where she could belong.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you're alone in this place. Away from your babies, away, you're just working, away from your baby, away from your mother, away from your warm island. And so part of it is trying to build, to find a community that you can feel, okay, my life is better. It's going to get better. So people make decisions because they want to, they need people, right? Because they don't, when they leave you behind them, there's a void.
Yes, there is. Everything is an unknown. Everything they have to create again. Everything they have to make new, everything to them, is new.
Yes,
and they're discovering everything on their own again.
Wow.
They're as lonely as anything else, in a stranger in a strange land, navigating it without assistance, basically just asking other strangers for help, while the comfort they get is that you will never go through this because I'm going through it for you.
Right. And what people don't understand, the culture of New York, when we lived in New York, you know, remember this V and Trine, you don't even know the person next to you in the apartment building.
You don't know. You don't know their, you can't hear what's going on between the walls, but you don't know nothing about the people.
Things, let me tell you. Mind your business and keep it moving.
You have a door next to the person in the same apartment building and you don't know who that person is.
Hello. Mind your business.
You don't know. I remember when I moved to Georgia and the neighbors start waving to me. I was like, wait, I wish I waved to me for.
When them come a hug, I was like, what the? I said, listen to me. This is too intimate for me. I don't want nobody to touch me. Like, I was literally stopped them in their tracks. Like, where are you going? Don't come touch me. I don't know you. You guys are strangers. Oh, this is how we welcome people. I lie on a hotel, stay over there. I'm a New Yorker.
But that's because you guys got acclimatized to the New York culture. Because had you come directly from Jamaica to a state that is more welcoming, like the South, it would have been okay for you because that's what you're accustomed to. But having lived in New York for several years, then been acclimatized to the culture of New York, many of you have adapted the stranger danger culture.
Stranger danger.
People don't understand what people go through when they come to America and what they give up. And sometimes they don't get it back because once you are gone, the years pass.
And they get the roughest part of the life.
Cycle of I gotta work. And that's the culture of New York. You just work around the clock. There is no pause. What do you mean? Stop to take a vacation to go. You take a vacation day to go your child's event? What is wrong with you? Nobody not working? The culture of New York is to work 24/7, 5/4/8.
24/7. And let's not talk about the people them when are straight and them lean as they would have said. Well, them I forgot. That's a whole other level of sacrifice because you can't go back home. You can't go back home unless you get yourself. Listen, I've heard so many stories of sexual abuse, abuse from employees, and them just have to take it. Why? Because they're of their situation.
At $2 an hour.
Exactly. And those sacrifices, and then you have your kids resenting you on top of that.
Gosh, which is why I keep telling them I have to have the conversation with the kids. You have to communicate this with the people who you love so that they know what you are going through.
Struggle.
There's no shame to the game. The fact that you go on that plane and decide that this is what you're going to do for your family, that is bravery. That is brave to leave everything that you know to go towards something that you do not know just to better your life and the life of the family you left behind.
That is beyond brave.
You don't know what you're going to encounter. And some of us have encountered so much stories beyond stories that I'm sure enough on to die with another grave with, because when I just feel like when I can't even make nobody know. So I want to go through some of them struggles here. I know people who used to sleep on the train. Because they come up on scholarship, and then if school is out, you don't have money for fly back home, and you have to find work during the summer, and you and the people them who you stay with not really a mesh well, so you just ride the train for the night.
We're just trying to show you guys that there are things people go through they'll never talk about out of love.
Out of love.
But what we want to encourage people to start doing is whatever you encountered and whatever you went through out of love for someone, they might not know that you did that. And if you would share it, they would understand that's love. Because love, as much as there's different types of languages and how it's communicated, everybody understands sacrifice.
Oh, definitely.
Love equals sacrifice. But sometimes the sacrificial things that you have done, you're like the sacrificial lamb of your ass or nothing. Come on now.
But it's just like that thing that can't take anything more until it bursts. You keep giving, you keep showing, you keep sacrificing until without any release, and until it just bursts, then you start resenting the people then because they're not appreciating all the hard work that they're not seeing, all the sacrifices that they don't know yet, that they don't know about, and then you resent them. But how are you resenting? They have no idea what you're talking about. No, because it was a secret.
And you're walking around angry and bitter.
Yes, angry and bitter.
And you're like, why are you always so miserable? Why you can't happy? Why you can't enjoy? But they're not talking about it. All the sacrifices that they made. Tell them what you went through. Tell them. And don't tell them out of anger when you're cursing them with it.
That's because they get to the point, Trina, where them just burst. Them don't have anything more to give. They can't hold anything else. And that's why it come out in that way.
Yeah, anger.
But then there are some parents too, they just don't think that they need to give their children an explanation because they are kids.
Me a big woman, what kind of explanation I mean if explain to you?
Well, the one that my favorite. So, wait, you never didn't know? No! Oh, me for know. You ever tell me? Me take it, me know. You never tell me. Them a comedian, you know.
As a parent, it is your responsibility to talk to us. No one reads your mind. No one knows your sacrifices but you. And the only person that can share them is you. Because we weren't there. We never see it. You're never even in the country.
Hello. And it, like you said, Veronica, earlier, the secret dead with them. I'm learning a lot of stories right now from my dad. And my mother, she gone, so me can't verify nothing. So I just say, take it with I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Wow. I'm like, she never shared those things with me.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, like, what is the whole stigma behind all of that? Is it because they don't want you to look at them differently?
Yeah. Well, I can talk from my perspective with my mom. She was the matriarch of the family. So everyone looked to her. So she had this facade of being strong. Even when she was weak, she still had to let everyone think she's strong. So I don't think she ever showed her weakness. So I don't think she talked about what was going on with her based on that. Like, me can't talk about my problems. Everybody I tell me for them problems, you know, who gonna listen to mine?
Because you gotta get it off your chest. So how do you keep all of that stuff on your chest?
I can only imagine. My God. Okay, so show me love chat. Lord have mercy.
And that is what we're saying. Some of these things where you don't open up and let stuff out, they formulate into illnesses.
Keep it all in. I can't. Me no me can't manage.
The reason why I'm such an advocate for parents telling kids is because I was that kid who heard everything. And it allowed me to formulate my own story, which was the truth. I didn't have to make it up. Because I was told everything my mom was doing, she told me everything, every decision we made them together. Like, so I knew if she moved the pencil right from left, I know why she moved the pencil from right from left to left. Because there was a communication. And I think because it was just both of us, maybe I was her sounding board or something, not sure, but I was able to,
right?
but I knew everything. So all the decisions I know. And so even when she decided that she was going to leave and she was going to come here, I know why she was leaving. I know what she was coming to do. I knew what she was doing here. You know, that communication didn't stop because she wasn't there. So I made my decisions living there based on the decision she made here. So I live my life accordingly. Do you know what I mean? So I accepted a lot of stuff because I knew the ends to the means. I knew what, so the ends justify the means. But I've seen the other side where the kids did not know. And I see their reaction and I see their behavior and I see the outcome even as adults. Because they weren't part of the decision-making process. And because they didn't know the struggles. And because they didn't see and they didn't hear. Not only weren't told, it wasn't visible to them. So their behavior was totally different from mine. And it formulated, and you know, us as kids, where we don't know what do we do? We create stories. The imagination just start going and they create all these stories. And I think, you know, when Tina was saying earlier how when she came and she saw what she saw and she thought, but I expected you to have more. I expected it to be more than whatever. It's the story she had to create. Because if I'm living this life, yours must be much, you know, it must be grander.
But it never dawned on me. That if she has less hair, I have more
no.
hair.
No, because there was so because that wasn't in your story, and she never told you anything. So of course your story is going to be much grander.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, mine was the total opposite. I was able to see through the process what her life here was, so I knew the sacrifices. Which was why my decisions and how I lived my life was because of the decisions that she made. And I just want parents and I want kids alike, even if they're not telling you, I want you to hear from us that everything they do is a sacrifice for your benefit. Please give them grace. Please allow them grace. Sometimes it's difficult for them to express themselves to you. And that's because they don't know how to. Please give them grace. Allow them to feel like what they're doing is worth it. Because they made the decision because they know it's worth it. But sometimes when it gets really hard, And if you are acting up, it doesn't feel like it's worth it. Just allow them some grace. Trust me, allow them some grace. It's not easy what they're doing. And it doesn't matter where they are. The fact that they leave you was a sacrifice. And it doesn't have to be abroad. It can be from one district to the next.
Just got to think, son. You're going
to town. Some people leave from the country to go to the city to work. That is a huge sacrifice. It's a culture shock. It is a culture shock. They don't know. Sometimes them know one auntie live there and them go and catch with them and they still have to battle it out. It's a different culture from living in the countryside to going into the city. Give them grace. Every decision they make is to better you as the child. I remember someone with is more than one pitney, more than two.
Whoa.
That's three. A lot.
And you have in every basket, you have bad eggs. So you're going to have some people who just leave because they just don't know better. Their parents left them. They don't understand why they need to be there. Yes. Somebody else is going to pick up their slack. Yes. You do have those people, right? You do have those people, right? But then you have another side of people who all they're trying to do is make your life better. Right? And where Trina started, where her mom just work, and she was kind of so resentful towards her mom and everything. But who knows if her mom learned how to communicate? And maybe if Trina had said, "Mom, why do you work so much? I need you here." In her mind, that wouldn't even compute because was her mom there? Was her dad there? What does that even mean? If she grew up seeing people work to show love, you best believe sometimes people go the opposite way, but sometimes people, majority of the people go down the stream.
No. The poor woman, I know what that look like. So if me no work, where you get money from?
Exactly. We out here.
On our own. So I got to do it. What do you mean come a graduation? What that?
What that?
Nobody never did my graduation. She doesn't, you just never know. So we sacrifice, we get hurt. We don't even understand what they're doing sometimes. Then there's this cultural thing where I know if I say half of this, you can't finish the rest. Children are seen and not
heard.
So you don't get to ask questions.
That's right. Dictatorship, Mr. Dictatorship.
You don't get to ask questions. You don't get to ask me what I'm doing, right? So then there are some parents who are like that. Autocratic. They're not trying to answer your questions. Because you need to see already. But we're talking to the parents as well. If it has been where you're wrong, well, you, in your way, you're saying you're right. So it's not even that you feel like you're wrong. But you have given and your children come across as ungrateful. I guarantee they don't understand what the sacrifices that you have made. So I plead with you. Help them to understand. They just want to hear. They want to understand. They want to come to some understanding of why did you do that? I wanted you to be here, but you're not. Why did you do that? And I'm sure you have a reason. I'm sure you have a reason. What you have done, though, is kept your reason a secret from the person who needs to know the most. And you could save them from hurting. Share your stories. Share your struggles. Share your sacrifices. Because in all of those, you have been loving them all their lives. They just did not know it.
Until next time, add us to your calendar every Monday. Subscribe, like, leave a comment, and tell everybody, I mean everybody, about our podcast. And don't forget to follow us on all social media platforms @TheBelovedQueens.